Real quick, if you're planning on singing, getting those vocal cords going, choir practice will start next week, okay? We've got it on there, but just know that it's next week. Okay, well, good morning. How's everybody doing? Good? Yeah? You're a lot more lively before I start talking, and then everybody, like we're sitting in class, but okay. So if you look on your announcements there, on that second page, we've got that service opportunity still. If you're interested in doing any special music here, get in contact with Todd. His email's on there. We've got a bunch of birthdays here. So we got LZ on the 5th. What's today? The 3rd or 4th? 4th? Okay. So that's tomorrow. We've got LZ Davis tomorrow. We've got John Kim on the 6th. And then we also have Stephanie Ellis on the 6th, who is not on there. But we got Larea Case on the 8th. We've got Jim, I might butcher this, Magulis on the 8th. And then we've got Ryan Branning on the 9th. So that's a lot of birthdays in a short period of time. So make sure to wish those people happy birthday. I don't know that I even need to talk about this winter policy. I think the winter might be over, which is wild, yeah. I think this is the first year I was saying, not that I'm in the middle. I'm not real old, I'm not real young, but I think this would be the first year that there wasn't like a substantial snowfall at least once in my entire life. So that's, I hope I did. I like snow, so I want at least one more big snowfall. Yeah, fair enough. I think that's all I've got. So let's go ahead here and say a prayer. Dear God, we come to you in prayer. We just want to lift up some specific here Calvary members this morning. We pray that you'd be with Bob. We pray that your healing hand would be upon him. We pray that you would hopefully bless the results here this week that he gets on his breathing test. But we just pray in the meantime you'd give him peace and comfort, and you would start any healing process that needs to happen. We also want to lift up Rick here, and he also will get some results tomorrow on his cancer diagnosis. And so we just pray, God, that you would be with them. We pray that you'd give them peace and hope and patience during this time. And we pray the same thing. We pray, God, that your hand would be moving in his life, and that you would be bringing healing, and you would be bringing resolution. We pray for wisdom and guidance through the doctors and nurses and any forms of treatment, God. We just pray that you would be moving in that, and we know that you are, and we pray that you would remind us through these times of your goodness and of your love for us, as it's easy to get discouraged. But we just pray that you would help us to see you in these difficult times, know that you are with us, God. And we pray for healing for everybody in here. I'm sure we all have something we're dealing with in some way or another, God. And again, we just ask that your healing hand would be moving, that your spirit would be moving amongst us, and help us to be a healthy church. You know, we want to be a holy church, but we also want to be a healthy church that can do things for you, God, and do things in your name. So we ask for that. We pray for Pastor Mike here as this morning as he delivers our message. We pray that you give him guidance and wisdom. We pray for focus and concentration on our part. We pray that you be with the praise team. And we just pray that you would help to sanctify these Sunday mornings, God, that when we come in here, we leave a little more sanctified. We leave a little more encouraged. We leave a little more holy than when we came in, God. And so please just be with us during this time. And we pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
You're invited to stand. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. I lift my hands, Lord, unto thy name. I lift my hands, Lord, unto thy name. my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me still, though I'm very weak and ill. From his shining throne on high comes to watch me where I lie. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. I love him, and when I die, he will take me home on high. Yes, Jesus loves me. Loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Thank you once again that you have brought us together to worship you this morning, Lord. And we know, as that song says, that you surely love us, and we love you, God. And we pray, Father, your blessings upon each one that has made their choice to come this way this morning, God. Bless them, each one, God, as we continue on in the service. And we ask your blessing also upon the offering, God. And we pray, Father, that it will be used to further your kingdom here on earth. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
You're invited to stand again.
Amen. Thank you. Praise team. Good singing indeed. If you have your Bible, turn with me this morning over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 1. You could turn in any of the Gospels for that matter, but I picked Matthew this morning because this is in every one. Matthew chapter 3, Matthew begins by saying, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins." Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the preservation of your word. And Lord, not only have you preserved it for us, you've allowed it to be translated into English for us today. And the Bible translators that are working all over the world to get your word in every language and every dialect in the world. We thank you for that, because we know that the word of God is quick and powerful than a two-edged sword. Lord, we know that when we open this Holy Bible, that you're going to speak to us. And we thank you for that. We ask you to be with us this morning as we look at these scriptures. Very important particular theme this morning that we know and are understanding, but let, because we're so familiar, perhaps we miss a very important part of that message. Help us to get it this morning. Lord, if decisions need to be made here, even this morning, I pray, Father God, that your Holy Spirit will just touch that life, draw them unto yourself. Lord, that you'll give them the courage, the energy, the tenacity to respond to the invitation, if that's your will. And we pray, Father God, your will be done here today. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In 605 BCE, the Babylonians, King Nebuchadnezzar the second besieged Jerusalem. And probably some of you historians recognize that. Not only did they come and defeated Judah, they came to Jerusalem, pretty well destroyed it, but they did do something that was just heart-wrenching to the Jewish people. They destroyed the temple as well. In 587 B.C., all this took place, and in 538 B.C., the Persian king Cyrus the Great, because the Jews were taken to captivity in Babylon, Cyrus the Great came and took back Babylon. He became the unconscious rod of God, Isaiah says, and allowed the Jews to return home. So Zerubbabel was commissioned to go back and go to Jerusalem, and once again to do something very important, and that was to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. That building of the temple was the temple that Jesus preached in. But it's not the Persians, and it's not the Babylonians that we have a backdrop this morning. It's the Romans. The New Testament is played against the Romans. The Romans controlled, well, the Mediterranean was called a Roman lake. So you start over there in Spain, go all the way around like that, all the way over to India this way. They controlled a lot of land. And Matthew says that in his gospel, preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, Matthew prefers to use the word heaven rather than the kingdom of God. Now, if you go back and look at those things, get you one of those parallel Bibles or something like that, and they'll give you each verse in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if it's there, that parallels, you'll find out that Matthew prefers to use the kingdom of heaven, whereas Luke doesn't mind saying the kingdom of God. They're not trying to say two different things. They're not two different concepts. It's just that Matthew, for whatever reason, and I don't have any other idea about this than what has been handed down for ages, in the sense that Matthew was a very pious Jew, and you just didn't go throwing God's name around. And so he said, kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17 says, After Jesus was baptized, it says, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 4:1 states this again. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, to me and you, I suspect, or at least to me, I think to myself, we don't have to do that, do we? Jesus is Jesus. I know who Jesus is. Jesus knows who he is. Why fiddle with the devil? Let's kick him in the, well, I was going to say behind, but anyway, and get him out of the way. But that's what happened. And he was tempted because he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And afterwards, the scripture says he was hungry. Have you ever done any fasting whatsoever? I've never done any fasting that anywhere near that particular time. 2 or 3 days is about as long as I've ever done it. And even during that particular time, sometimes I have found myself eating something. You know, come in the house, look in the refrigerator. Oh, there's a piece of something in there. And I'm supposed to be fasting. So it's not hard. It's a discipline. It's really not hard, but it's hard for us to do, or at least it's hard for me to do. And it says, after he was there 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Well, of course he was. And it says, the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread, and they will be. Now, did you know the devil knows the scripture? He just quoted scripture to Jesus. But Jesus came back and said, it is written. It is written. So Jesus is going to quote scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil tempted Jesus a second time. This time the scripture says that the devil took him up to the pinnacle of the temple and told him to throw himself down. And then he was telling Jesus that if he threw himself down, that the angels of God would come and not let him, even his foot, be dashed by a stone. Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. There's a third one, a third temptation. This time, the devil takes Jesus up to a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And I think this one is really the one that Satan was wanting most of all. Takes Jesus to a high mountain. He sees the kingdoms of the world. Not only that, but the glory of them. And then he says, all these things I will give you if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, Jesus knew what his mission was. He was to come and be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He knew that in not too many years, he was going to have to face that horrible thing called Golgotha. He was going to have to face that cross. He was going to have to pay the sin debt. And now the devil is saying, listen, let's skip all that. I'll just give it to you. Wait a second. Whose kingdoms are these? They're not the devil's to give. But he likes to do that. So what was the meaning of all this purpose of all these temptations? I think it was to turn Jesus away from the mission that he was commissioned to do right from the very beginning when Mary conceived, that he was going to bring salvation to all mankind. So these temptations kind of follow a pattern of temptations for all men. The devil likes to do this to everybody. That first temptation concerns the lust of the flesh. Over in Matthew chapter 2, it says, and when he had fasted, 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards a hunger. Just like you or me, he was hungry. And so Satan comes to Jesus and said, now listen, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread. We'll break bread and eat together here today. Jesus said, and Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 8:3, man did not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The second temptation concerns the pride of life. Matthew 4 tells us, chapter 4, verse 5, then the devil taketh him up unto the holy city, sets him on a pinnacle of the temple. And again, Satan says, if thou be the Son of God. Notice how he always, if you really are, if you really are. You know, the devil does that, I think, to us. Are you really supposed to go on that mission trip? Are you really supposed to give your life to this? Are you really supposed to do this? Are you really? Maybe you've misunderstood. If you be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he quotes scripture to Jesus, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. The devil was quoting Psalms 91. You didn't know the devil knew the Bible, did you? He does know it. He doesn't know the meaning of it. Yeah, he can. He doesn't understand. He's a lot. Exactly. He's a lot like a lot of folks out there. I shouldn't say this. I really shouldn't say this. But when I go from here, sometimes I take Bob home or something like that. We go by a couple of churches, and there are hundreds of people coming out of that one parking lot. And you know what I do? I think to myself, those poor folks, they came here and they did not hear the Word of God. They heard tradition. They heard what we would call sacraments. They heard those things, and the most important things were left out. There's a lot of folks out there like that. There's a lot of folks out there. You know, Taylor once asked me something about the sign. It says Calvary Baptist Church, and he asked, can we take that word Baptist off there? That seems to be offensive to some people. And it is. I realize that. You know, and I thought about that. You know what I thought? If we ever did that, you know what we ought to put on there? Calvary Bible Church. That's really offend them. Right? Let's get down to it. So Jesus said, listen, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But the devil doesn't give up easily, does he? He's got one more thing he's going to do. Again in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, he says, again the devil taketh him up to exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. I remember reading when I was in Korea, Thailand, this was during the Vietnam War, of course, but I was in Korea. But, you know, Otis Jones was in Thailand. Did you know that? And we had air bases in Thailand because in Thailand, we flew missions from there to bomb in Vietnam, various and places. And because of that, I understood that the Thais have a king, or they had a king. And every year, a procession happens. He went from the winter palace, which was in a warm climb, to the summer palace, which was in a cool climb. So he went from the coast to the mountains, and then from the mountains back to the coast. And guess what they did when they did that? Everybody, just normal folks like you and me, they were instructed to get out and clean that road. Pick up any debris, pick up any paper whatsoever. If your house needs to be painted, whitewash it, get it. What were they trying to say? When the king comes down, coming from the mountain to the summer palace or vacuum verse or whatever, we want him to see beautiful, clean yards, houses. And they wanted you get out there in the street and go like this. They wanted the king to think everything is beautiful. Nothing's amiss. People are wonderful. The houses are wonderful. The streets are wonderful. Everybody's happy, little smiles and those kind of things. That's what the devil is saying here to Jesus. He said, listen, all you have to do is fall down and worship me and I'll give you all that. Now, what's the problem there? He doesn't have it to give. It's not his. But that's what he was saying. I'll give it to you. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We have the problem. Everybody has that problem. There are those things that the devil uses like a lure. years and years ago, I never forget this because it was so strange to me. My wife and I were at my dad's little pond, and we were in the little John boat going around fishing, and I caught a nice little bass about like that big. So we said, oh, let's keep him, all right? And so I took him back, took him to the house, and when I cut him open to clean him, guess what? He had 18 minnows in him. How did he figure he was going to get one more? I don't know. But you know what it is? It's a strike reflex. When that little flashing lure went by there and went right, boom! He wasn't hungry. He was full. But there's a strike reflex. The devil knows we have a strike reflex. All he needs to do is make something shiny, make it sound good, look good, whatever, and we'll strike at it. And then years later, we'll say, oh my gosh, what did I do that for? Now, the little bass didn't have a chance because I fired him up for a second chance on that. It says over in Revelation 12, verse 7, talking about this, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. There's two different sides going on here. And prevailed not. Neither was there any place found for him anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and the angels were his angels were cast out with him. Listen, I've said this on Sunday night several times, but it is true. We're living in a battlefield. There was a battle in heaven, and that battle has switched to earth. It's battlefield earth now. And what Satan is trying to do is influence us so that one of these days he can say, listen, we need to have a democracy around here. I always think that's funny because, you know, this is not a democracy. In America, it's not a democracy. You know that? It's a republic. And there's a difference. Look it up. But he's wanting us to do those kind of things. We're living in a battlefield. Interesting enough, the very first words that John the Baptist was preaching, does anybody know that first word? Repent. 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 What's that first word again? Repent. That's the first word. Interesting enough, isn't it? In fact, the very first word Jesus uses when he preaches, begins to preach, is repent. Look over Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, or Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. It's repent. The first word in the ministry of the apostles, the 12, was repent. The first Christian sermon that we have over in Acts chapter 20, the first word in that sermon was repent. Acts 26, 19 and 20, the very first words out of the Apostle Paul's mouth when he was starting to preach was repent. Matthew 3, 1 tells us, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist was the herald. God Almighty was about to move in some marvelous and wonderful way. The kingdom of God was coming in discernible power and grace. And he was trying to tell us something, tell them something that still applies to us today. It's closer than you think. Well, I don't have time to do that today, Lord, but I'll get around to it sometime this week. No. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Have you ever missed something because you thought, well, I have plenty of time? Those kind of things. I've done it lots. I had something about my driver's license or something. And somebody pointed out that you're supposed to go get your driver's license renewed on your birthday. I hardly know any dates, but I know my own birthday. 8-8-1962. Or something. Is it what it is? It's the last part I got right? wrong. Yep. But anyway, so I knew that I was supposed to go on my birthday, or at least before my birthday, the last day you could do it, was supposed to be on your birthday, to get my driver's license. I knew that. And for some reason, I forgot all about it, and about 3 or 4 days later, oh, I forgot to go to the license bureau. And so I got in the car, and I went over there to New Haven, and the girl was very nice. I put down my stuff and my papers and my license, and she says, you know, your license, your driver's license is expired. Well, it's, you know, I've been doing this for 30, 40 years. I think we're okay with it. She didn't buy that argument at all. You know what she wanted me to do? Can you imagine that? Somebody has been driving for all this time. I've never had but one accident all my life, and that was a guy who hit me from behind, just about killed Todd and I. But nevertheless, one accident all my life. And she has the gall and audacity to tell me, there are driver's books over there in the corner. Pick up one of those, read it, study it, come back. And there were certain times you could take the driver's test. Oh, I couldn't believe it. Matter of fact, I guess I kind of hesitated enough for her to realize that, hey, I was thinking I don't have to do that. And she said, no, the driver's manual's right over there. You read it, come back. We'll have a test. You take the test. If you pass the test, and then you're going to go drive for drive for the guy. Yeah. Jesus' message was hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Get ready. God's doing something so fantastic and so wonderful and so marvelous. Don't miss it. Can you imagine the people who might have thought to themselves after the resurrection, the many times that they could have went and saw Jesus. They could have went to the temple, heard him teaching and preaching. They could have seen him working miracles and all those kind of things, but they were just probably a little too busy. I think that's the way it is most of the time. We're supposed to be ready when? Now. Don't miss what God has for you now. He's at work even now. Matthew 4:17 tells us, from that time, Jesus began to say and to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If I, by the finger of God, touch and heal this man, then the kingdom is here. Wow. But it must start with repentance. Now you're thinking to yourself, oh, he's going to talk about that business about repenting of your sins and giving your heart to Christ and all those kind of things. Yeah, that's true. Listen, what's probably wrong with a lot of people is they skip that part. They just skipped it. I'm not that bad a person. I don't have anything. Repent of. I'll tell you what, if you bow your head and your heart unto God and you're looking for Jesus to come into your life and convict you, he will. And you won't have to worry about a thing. There'll be a list there. You'll want to shut the door quickly because there's a big list there. It's a radical kind of thing that we have to bring ourselves to the point of letting ourselves loose, not giving control of our lives from us to him. And that change then spills over into our life and into our action. The kingdom is the realm of salvation unto men and women, boys and girls, entered by trusting the Lord Jesus with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. I've said it a few times, and you're probably getting sick of hearing it. I came to know the Lord by the witness of Ron Renner. He lives down in Indianapolis. Mike Jester lives in Sidell, Louisiana. Mike's not doing very well. He might have even died the other day. I haven't found out that why. And a 4 spiritual laws track. Those two guys were witnessing in my squadron. I didn't know anything about Jesus. I was a Presbyterian. Oh, I shouldn't say that. I didn't know anything about Jesus because I didn't know anything about it. There's probably some Presbyterians that know about Jesus, don't they? Yay, amen, good. But I wasn't. But what God did with their lives was convict me. They've got something I don't have. And I would like to have it. And of course, God never, never misses the appointments you have with Him. When I got off the plane, or got onto the plane rather, to go to Korea, I got on a plane and we flew to Japan. And I'd say 90% of that plane deplaned there because they got on another plane and they went to Vietnam. Just me and another guy went to Korea. But guess what? The Gideons didn't care where you were going. Everybody that was getting on that plane, here, get a Bible? Here, get a Bible? Here, get a Bible? Bible, 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 Bible. In my house, you didn't read the Bible, but you didn't throw it away. So I had that Bible. So I get in my bed and I get to thinking about what Mike and Ron have been telling me about the Lord and being repenting of my sins and asking Christ to come in my life. I never knew if I ever did that at all. And then I got up and I got that Four Spiritual Laws track, one we have out there in the track rack, actually, same kind of thing, and read that through. When I got to the end, I thought, yes, I need to repent and ask Christ to come into my life. Now, being an unsaved Presbyterian, maybe I should cut that out. Cut that out, Matt. Being unsaved, but I thought if you were serious about prayer, you did something. What did you do? You got down on your knees. Well, I was serious. So I got out of my bed, got out on my knees, read that little track, got to the back, and read that track. It has I, blank. You're supposed to put your name in there. Now ask God to come into my life, Jesus, to forgive me my sins, be Lord of my life, and I'll trust you, and I'll serve you, Lord, for the rest of my life. And then at the bottom of the track, it had a little place you're supposed to sign it. You know what I thought? Oh, that's just a formality. I don't need to write my name in there. I don't need to sign that thing. So I didn't. But you know, I think God does keep His word. He did come into my heart and in my life. And it was about maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 months or something like that. And I got to thinking about that track and I thought to myself, I'm going to go check that out again. And I checked that out again. And this time I had a pencil and I printed my name up there in the top and I signed it at the bottom. I used to have that track. I don't know what happened to it. You say, well, that's legalism, that's formalism. Yeah, maybe it is. But God does what He wants to do, and I'm so blessed by it. Listen, it's far from being a finished product when you first accept Christ. I was far from being perfect. But when I gave my life, my heart and life to Jesus, many, many things changed. Didn't even think about them at first, but I said something to Ron about, hey, is there church someplace on the base here? We actually had four chapels. Yeah, there was church there. There really was. Yeah, two Air Force, two Army. There was one not too far from me. And that's what Ron told me. He said, little chapel tools just right down there. You know what had happened to me? Something happened. I wanted to go worship. I'd never wanted to before. My mom might have drugged me or whatever. My grandma might have put me in the pickup truck and took me over there to Caledonia. But I never wanted to go before. The only thing I can think about that church there in Caledonia was the pastor had this big robe on. And when he got up, when he walked, it went shoop, 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 shoop. Now, isn't that weird? Why would you think of some silly thing like that? Well, that's what I thought about. And the other thing, I remember, surely this man didn't preach, you're going to hell without Jesus every week. I don't think so. That's what I heard. So in any opportunity that I had to stay home and not go, that's what I did. And that became a pattern of my life until Jesus came into my life. Then the idea of not going to church didn't seem like an option anymore. Now going to worship was a thing I wanted to do. Something happened in here. I don't suspect the service changed any at all. But the change came here. I wanted to go. I began to read my Bible. Somebody had this little chart. There was charts for everything. You charted like that Figmo chart, and you, at the very end, you're finished. You check that one off. You're going home. And somebody had made a chart about reading your Bible. So I had this little box that I'd made, and I put it on the inside of my box in there, and I pulled it out. And I thought, well, okay, I'm down on the flight line. I've got not a whole lot to do. It's kind of boring. I took my Bible down there. I took a dictionary. You know, there's a lot of words in the Bible. I don't know what they are. So I took a dictionary with me, took a tablet with me, and I actually went to the library sometimes and got a commentary. I didn't know what they were exactly, but I wanted to find out what Matthew was talking about or something like that, and there was supposed to be some kind of help to you. And so I had that stuff in my truck, and I was on the flight line. I couldn't leave my truck other than to eat, go to the bathroom or something like that. We got a new base commander. He was a lieutenant colonel. He came out to my truck. He brought his typewriter, and he came into the truck, and he said, "Hey, what's all that stuff on the dashboard of your truck there?" I said, "Well, that's my Bible, and there's a tablet there because I have to write things down, and I'll look it up later if I have to. And that one is a dictionary. At that particular time, I didn't have a commentary, just those things, pencil." And he said, "You're going to have to get rid of all that." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah. What if you had to stop immediately and that Bible flew back in the back and hit somebody in the head and injured them?" I thought, well, I haven't even come close to that. Well, that was his idea. Clear that thing off. Don't put anything there. Well, my NCIC at base ops, I went and talked to him about that. I said to him, I said, I just accepted Christ not too long ago, and I'm trying to read through the Bible, and I bring in my Bible, and when I, because you sit there for a long, long time, period of time, you don't have anything to do. Plane lands, that's when you got something to do. Other than that, you're just sitting there. And so he said, "Well, listen, what do you got out there?" So he came out and looked. He said, "All right." He said, "Take away the dictionary, take away the commentary." He said, "You can keep your Bible and you can keep that tablet with a pencil. Put the pencil in your shirt." Oh, okay. So here I am doing that again. And here comes our light colonel. He comes out, starts to get in my truck. He looks up there and he sees that Bible sitting on the dashboard. And he said, "I thought I told you to get that Bible out of this truck. That's dangerous." You know, I've thought about that after. It is dangerous, isn't it? Not to hitting somebody in the head with it, but it's a dangerous book if you read it, that's for sure. That's dangerous, you know. And I said, "Well," I asked Sergeant so-and-so, and he said I could keep the Bible. He said, "What?" Oh, he was, veins in his neck was about to pop. And so he raced inside, and that's always funny to me. He raced inside, he came back out with the sergeant, and here I'm in this truck. The whole front end is glass, you know, the windshield. And there they stood right there in front of me. And this guy is just going to town. Blah, 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 blah. And the old sergeant said, "Now, sir, just a second." He said, "I told him he could keep his Bible in that truck and read it. There's lots of downtime. He doesn't have anything to do. And I think reading his Bible is not a bad thing," or something like that. And of course he went, "Ah, blah, 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 blah," like that, you know. Well, he left. Keep your Bible. Get rid of the pencil. Pencil might be a spear. Get somebody in the eye. Get rid of the pencil. Okay, all right. Well, it wasn't too many days after that. Here comes the colonel. He's got a typewriter in his hands. He comes out, gets in my truck. He puts the typewriter over on that dashboard where my Bible had been, that terrible, serious weapon, and that javelin was at. He put the typewriter over there, And he says, can you take me up to my barracks? I need to take this typewriter up to my room, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, sure. And I started the truck up, and no sooner had I started the truck up than here comes the NCIC. He comes around to the front, and he says, sir, can I speak to you a minute? The guy gets out. They're getting right in front of my truck again. And he tells him, listen, if he can't have his Bible, you're certainly not going to put a typewriter on the dashboard. Oh, man. Talk about veins in the neck. I thought the guy was going to explode. Jumping up and down, jumping up and down. Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. The sergeant came a little bit later and told me, he says, don't worry about that Bible. He said, I'll go to the wall that you can read that Bible. We need to go to the wall that people can read the Bible. We do. Now, you know what happened? Several months later, they came and got him, the lieutenant colonel. And I watched him take him from base ops across the street and put him in a staff car in a straitjacket. He just went bonkers. I watched him a couple days later. They brought him back down. They put him on the red tail and took him to Japan in a straitjacket. And I thought to myself, Listen, God can take care of you. God can take care of colonels. God can take care of everybody. We just need to trust him. Jesus read the scriptures. He knew the scriptures. No matter how many times you read that verse, I guarantee you, you'll get something out of it if you read it again. I guarantee you each time you'll learn something new. When you read the scriptures, when you pray, it's very, very important. When you worship corporately, very, very important. When we stay away from church because the preacher's a jerk, and I realize that, and all those kind of things, still we starve ourselves spiritually. We're hurting our own selves because God is a spirit, and those who worship him must what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. Psalms 68 says, sing to the Lord. Sing praises to his name. Part of what we do is sing. Extol him, and he rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in him, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. Isaiah says, and in that day shall we say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his goings and doings amongst the people, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 12, 28, wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Paul says over in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, fleshing out the kingdom's work is not all that really hard. Come, study the Bible, read the Bible, do some singing, praise his name, pray to him. Those are elementary things. Now, realizing that Christ has authority in our lives always and even today, that this is not a pie in the sky kind of thing, but it's fleshed out in Christ Jesus. We need to expect God to do what he says he can do and will do without grumbling. There's tremendous power. There's tremendous power. Over in Mark 10, Jesus tells us we are to submit ourselves unto God like little children. James 4:6 says, God resisteth the proud, but give us grace to the humble. Maintaining a spiritual humility is important, isn't it? when we think we've got it all and we know it all and we can criticize these folks and criticize those folks, we're on a thin line. That's not our job. Pure in heart shows itself out in many ways, in many times, in just simple things. Prioritizing. Take no thought, the Bible says, saying what you shall eat or what you shall drink, where you have clothes. God is able to give you all these things. You don't have to raise your hand, but I suspect there have been times when you've thought, ooh, how are we going to get by this deal? How are we going to... Icebox getting a little bit lean in there. Of course, that was just the icebox in the garage. We got one in the house, too. Isn't that amazing? People all over the world would love to probably come to any of our houses and open that refrigerator and go, whoa! And then you'd take them out in the garage and say, hey, where's another one out here? It's about the same. Oh, wait. That's not all. We got this thing called a freezer over there. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing, isn't it? God is able, and He can and will take care of us. He always has. Now listen, prayer. Remember our Father. What's that prayer that Jesus taught to the disciples? We call it the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, what hallowed be thy name. What's the next line? Thy what? Thy kingdom come. We're kingdom people. We're working in. He's ushering in. We're part of that. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen, when we bend our knee and give our hearts over to Christ, we have God Almighty fully on our side, and so we need to be persistent. Never, never, never give up. Jesus said what? Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and you shall find. When Jesus comes into our life, things change. The world around us doesn't really change. We change. Like I said, I wasn't interested in worship, but I started worshiping. I wasn't interested in Bible reading, but I started Bible reading. I wasn't interested in prayer meeting, but I started going to prayer meeting. I wasn't interested in sharing my testimony with anybody or anything else, but I started doing that. That's God doing that. I remember this major from Seoul came down, a Korean major, and he was talking to us. That he said, you know, he'd heard about our prayer group on Saturday nights, and he was wanting to have a revival in Base Chapel, the Korean ROKAF Academy, which is kind of like, you know, the Air Force Academy or West Point or something like that. It is the big deal for Korean Air Force pilots and those kind of folks. And he said, they've given me permission to have 3-day revival. Wow, okay. And then he says, what's wrong with this guy? Then he says, you, what's your name? I said, Mike. He said, you preach the first night. You, Nick, second night. You, third night. You lead in prayer. Oh, we need somebody to sing the songs. He doesn't know that Dennis knows how to sing the song. Dennis, you sing the song. He didn't know any of that. He just handed it out. So after he left, we did have a couple of more mature believers in our group, and I asked George about it, George Abernathy, and he said, well, he says, he's asked you to do it. He said, start doing it. I don't know. You know? He says, well, read some sermons. He said, read some. There's usually kind of an order in those things. If you put an order in it and you're amplifying the Lord Jesus and you're reading Scripture, it'll be fine. But I thought, nah. So I turned to this guy's name was Dick Wilson, and he was a major in the Army. Isn't that amazing? The Army and the Air Force used to pray together. We actually had 2 Marines, too. But anyway, he was in the Army, and I asked him, and this was terrible, because I did this one time to him. He was down at the BX. He was in uniform. I was in uniform. And I saw him. And so I went over there to him, and I said, you know, Dick, and put out my hand like this, and we shook hands and things like that, talked a little while like that, and I left, he left. And then 2 days later, he saw me again. He said, you know, Mike, he said, I didn't even think about it. He says, but you know, you're a sergeant. I'm a major. The first thing you should have done was salute. He said, you didn't do it at all. He said, I didn't even think about it. He said, the guy that was with me asked me, what kind of deal is this? He said, so listen, we're brothers in Christ. He said, I love you. He said, but when we are meeting on the street and we're in uniform, salute me, please. I thought, well, okay, I'll try to do that. Listen, there are those formalities that don't bother, don't stand in the way of anything, aren't there? And then there are those things that can harm our witness because we're not doing the thing right. When Jesus came, lives were changed. They said, we've never heard anybody like this before. The blind receive their sight. The lepers are cleansed. And the lame walk. And we've never heard anybody speak like this man. Well, of course not. That's God in the flesh, goofballs. But they were recognizing it. They just didn't know how to put the finger on it, did they? We should be able to put our finger there. We come together to worship the Lord, to thank Him for our salvation, to thank Him for all the good gifts He gives to us, to fellowship together as believers in Christ, to worship, to sing, all those kind of things dedicated unto Him. We do that because we love Him, but He first loved us. Father, thank You for Your great gift of salvation. Thank You that Jesus is Lord. He proved that over and over and over again. But when He was sent to the cross and died that horrible, horrible death, He didn't stay in the grave. On the third day, He arose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. That's the kind of Savior, that's the kind of Lord we have. Let us be thankful in our hearts. Father, if there's anybody here this morning that has a doubt in their mind what they're doing here or anything else like that, help them to have the courage to say to somebody sitting right next to them or come to me or whatever, let's get that settled. Let's get that settled for You. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand and sing our invitation this morning.
If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now you're doubting Him, Lord. Just